In a desperate last-minute appeal to protesters, Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi said he would give his life to defend the legitimacy of the Constitution, and he reminded Egyptians that he came to power through a free and fair democratic election. Listen.
I was selected and elected by the people in fair, transparent elections. Constitution was drafted. A state is in place.
It was a defiant speech that aired on television throughout Egypt around midnight on Tuesday. Morsi blamed unrest in the streets on corruption and said the youth are being manipulated.
What's taking place at the moment, that some are taking advantage of the anger of the youth. This anger is lawful and natural.
Now, the speech came just hours before an ultimatum issued by the military in Egypt is set to expire. The army says Morsi must find some roadmap to peace or they will set a new way forward. Following Morsi's speech, the army posted a message on its Facebook page under the title Final Hours. The statement read, "We swear to God that we will sacrifice even our blood for Egypt and its people to defend them against any terrorist, radical, or fool." Meanwhile, protests continued throughout the country. Joining us now is Shadi Hamid, Director of Research at the Brookings Doha Center. Hi, Shadi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
A defiant speech, as we just heard there from Mohamed Morsi, the military poised to act. What do we know about their actual plans? There's a lot of different reporting and a lot of questions in Egypt about what the military will actually do.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors and speculation going around. I think there's two possible scenarios that are worth looking at. One is an all-out military coup, where effectively the military forces Morsi to leave, regardless of his own wishes. But because of Morsi's defiance, they would literally have to remove him physically from the office. That could require arresting Morsi in the palace with armed guards. So that would be a very explicit military coup, and one that would be very provocative, not just to Egyptians, but to the international community. So that's kind of the scary nightmare scenario. What could happen if cooler heads prevail is the military sponsors and backs a kind of national dialogue process where they say to Morsi and other political actors, you guys have to sit together and hash out your differences. There's no other option, and we're going to be pushing you in that direction. That could be more acceptable, and that could give a way for Morsi and the military to save face. They could both get some of what they want in that kind of scenario. But we're in a situation where both sides are playing a very dangerous game of brinksmanship. The Brotherhood is coming out with some very strong, defiant language where you have people saying that they're ready to lose their lives, telling supporters to be prepared to leave their wives and children, talking about martyrdom, standing in front of tanks and being shot at. They're using this kind of language. I don't doubt they believe some of that, but I think it's also a negotiating tactic to tell the army that the costs of any military coup would be very high.
At the same time, Shadi Hamid, there were tweets overnight, at least reports of them, that the cabinet, members of Morsi's own cabinet, had abandoned him and joined the popular movement. I don't know that we know the exact source of those tweets, but they also seem to suggest that some of his own support inside the government is leaving him.
Yes, there's been a number of cabinet ministers who have already resigned, but it's worth keeping in mind that none of them are from the Muslim Brotherhood. They are technocrats, or actually some are bureaucrats from the older regime under Mubarak. So there aren't any internal splits within the Muslim Brotherhood itself at this point.
Trying to understand the Egyptian population a little better, Shadi Hamid, we see the images and we hear the sound of protests in Tahrir Square and in other cities. For every protester who wants Morsi to go, I assume there has to be another person who's not in the streets who voted for the Muslim Brotherhood. They won the election, who's thinking, we don't want another revolution.
Yes. Well, Egypt is very divided. You know, it's hard to say whether it's half-half, but it's very polarized into these two camps. And it pretty much comes down to pro-brotherhood or anti-brotherhood at this point. And even within the opposition itself, you don't have a clear leadership. It's a headless opposition with very different groups and factions within it. So they might all hate Morsi and the Brotherhood, but they don't really know what they're for. They're not agreeing on a particular roadmap going forward because they do have real differences among them.
And at the same time, before we let you go, Shadi Hamid, it seems that the United States has tied hands here. The White House put out a readout of a call between President Obama and Morsi, which really suggested a distance keeping from the White House, not wanting to tie their fate to really any of the factions in Egypt right now.
Yes, the Obama administration is hedging its bets. It doesn't know how this is going to turn out. And there's a lot of anti-U.S. sentiment now in Egypt where the opposition is accusing the U.S. of backing the Brotherhood. So I think the U.S. is more sensitive to that now. That said, U.S. officials have also suggested that a military coup would be a sort of red line and could lead to a loss of military aid. And there are actually legal provisions that would require the U.S. to terminate military assistance in the event of a military coup. So the question is, will it be considered a military coup if it happens by the U.S.? And that's why I think the military would be, if they're thinking ahead and thinking intelligently, they wouldn't want it to be too blatant. They'd want it to have a civilian veneer so they can claim plausible deniability and say, yeah, we intervened, but it wasn't a coup.
Shadi Hamid, Director of Research at the Brookings Doha Center from Doha, Qatar, joins us. Thank you, Shadi.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.